Can't get enough of the podcast? Lucky for you, our video IQ platform on adorebeauty.com.au houses thousands of articles on skincare, makeup, haircare, and more. Plus, you can find a heap of video tutorials, ingredient spotlights, and brand breakdowns on our YouTube channel. Just click on Beauty IQ in the menu bar of the website or app, or search Adore Beauty on YouTube for more beauty content.
Adore Beauty acknowledges First Nations people as the traditional owners across the lands and waters of Australia. We recognise and pay our respects to elders past, present and future whose lands were never ceded. Welcome back to Beauty IQ, the podcast. I'm your host, Hannah First.
And I am your summer co-host, Melissa Mason.
So I saw a new hairdresser this week, Hannah.
We both did new hairdressers.
Oh my God.
How weird.
I feel like that never happens because I'm like so, I think everyone's like this. I'm so loyal to my hairdresser. I feel like you only change hairdressers, right, if you move or they move.
Yes.
Like it has to be like an absolute crisis level for you to get a new hairdresser, right? And so I've moved, so I had to go to a new hairdresser. And they were great. They were amazing. What was not so amazing was my energy going into the salon. It was like I was going in for surgery. It was literally scared. Like life-saving surgery was about to happen. I was terrified. And I had all my little pictures on my phone of when my hairs looked really good. And I was like, look, this is exactly how I like my hair. I like it to look like Daisy Jones and the Six. I like these particular layers. I like this particular type of fringe. And I feel like I was giving him anxiety because I had so much anxiety in me.
Mine was the exact opposite. All of my, I want this, I want it to look like this, I want the color to be like this, all went out the window. And I just was like, yeah, like whatever you think works. Like, I don't know what happened. I was like, I went really like quiet and anxious. This is the second hairdresser that's moved. My first hairdresser moved back to Ireland. And then the second hairdresser's gone to Sydney.
How dare she?
And I had really good rapport with both of them. And they like, you can just, you know someone well and you can tell them what you really want. And you're like, you've built that rapport with them. And this time I was so like overwhelmed. Like I didn't know what to say or what I wanted. So I ended up just doing like a toner and then I just got a trim. I was like, I didn't go any like a new hairstyle or long. I wanted like maybe long bangs, but I was like, today's not the day.
It's not the day. Not when you've gone in and said, do whatever you want. Yeah. I'm so chill. Like, yeah, I'm really chill.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah. And how did it turn out?
Look, okay. Look, I had a lot of dead ends. So I'm a bit sad because my hair's a lot shorter than I wanted it to be.
Always,
but it is insanely healthy. And the best part is he nailed the fringe. Thank God. That is the most important part. Hannah, what is on the episode today?
So today we are talking about the beauty practices that we and others do in public. Then Joanna Fleming is back to talk about sensitive skin. Mm-hmm. And of course, the products we didn't know we needed.
I went overseas last year for quite a few months. So I spent a lot of time in airports and I had a lot of those situations where you're doing a long haul flight and then you have like a layover in an airport and you feel gross. And something that I did one day was I just started brushing my hair. I have a little travel brush with those little, you know, the little massage bristles, which as a side note, everyone should have one of them when they're traveling. It is the best. But I'm just sitting there in a chair, the waiting area, like the waiting lounge, just brushing my hair. And I thought, this is really gross. If I saw someone else doing this, I would be repulsed and find it incredibly disrespectful to other passengers waiting for this plane. And yet here I am doing it. And I was just like, I'm such a hypocrite. And that made me start thinking about like, what are other things that we do, like public beauty practices that are truly revolting. And I honestly think every single disgusting beauty practice, for me, it would be like, but if I do it, it's fine, which I think is what everyone's got in their brains, right?
I don't think brushing hair at the airport's that bad. Maybe my hair, because so much hair comes out when I brush it. So I don't actually think that's so bad. And you've also got written here brushing teeth at work. And that's so normal. Like I used to keep a toothbrush when I worked at a door in the office. I would always have a toothbrush in my drawer and I would always go on. I think the only thing that's weird, because I brush my teeth at the airport as well, which no one seems to do. Like I'll have my bottle of water and then I'll brush my teeth. But people do find that weird, I think. Public bathrooms and brushing teeth. What do you think of that?
Well, this is the thing, is I know it's a controversial opinion because I know there are people that have like Invisalign and like teeth whitening and stuff where it's like you kind of have to brush your teeth after every meal to keep it in tip-top condition and stuff, right? I remember when I had braces, it was like technically I was supposed to go brush my teeth in the school bathroom. Yes, after every meal. I did not do that. And then they ended up weird and furry and disgusting. But yeah, so there's definitely reasons why people do this. But I find it really gross. I don't know. It's such a private act to brush your teeth. I feel like it's something reserved for your private bathroom time. And so when I've walked into a public bathroom and I've seen someone brushing their teeth, I'm like, the ick is so strong.
That's always me. That's me. At airports, only at airports will I do that. The other one I wanted to ask you, this isn't as much a beauty practice. You know, when you're in the car on the way to work and you might look in the like rearview mirror and you'll kind of look at your nose and you might have like a booger up there from the night before, or you like haven't whatever. What would you do in that situation? Would you do it in the car? Would you wait? What's your beauty practice? Booger in the nose.
See, this is where I become even more of a hypocrite, because to me, the car is my private space, even though everyone can see me through the windows. I do everything in the car. I will pluck my moustache hairs.
Not while you're driving.
Not while I'm driving. No, not while I'm driving. I will pick my nose quite happily in the car. I will pick my whole nose in the car and I will not think anything of
it. The worst thing is when you do that and you forget that you're in the car and then you look around and you realize and you kind of just have to like pretend nothing happened. So we've had some people from around the Adore Beauty office send beauty practices, I'm assuming that they've seen, that have given them the ick. Someone has said brushing hair on the tram, or I guess any public transport. I actually don't think I'd have a problem with that. I think that's all right. Jerry Seinfeld did this bit where he said, why is hair fine on the head? Like you will like put your head into someone's hair and like you'll like snuggle into their hair or you'll touch their hair, whatever you do with hair. And then as soon as the hair is off the head, it's like, oh my God, there's a hair, there's a hair.
Yeah, why is hair so disgusting off the head? I can't do the tram brushing the hair on the tram. If anything, that's worse than the airport because you're in a confined space. I feel like those little bits of hair are going to fly into my face and get stuck on my cheek or something. I liked this one because I absolutely agree. Clipping or filing your nails. Both for me are an absolute no. What about you, Hannah?
Clipping nails, 100%. Filing, I think I'm all right with that. I'll let that one go. That's okay. You go to the nail salon and everyone's doing it. I think I'm just,
Well, everyone's getting their nails clipped at the nail salon too.
That's true. That's true. But I think filing nails is all right in public. Clipping is a no. Maybe clipping fingernails I'd be all right with, but anything to do with toenails is a no.
What if they're right next to you on the tram?
This is another clipping one that's like hair. Nails on the fingers are fine. As soon as the nail is off the finger, it's disgusting.
It's a no. It's an absolute no. So funny.
Okay, this is something that gives people the ick is massages. So we've got someone would like to officially ban massage chairs in shopping centres.
Yeah, I'm with this person.
I've never seen really someone get into one of those massage chairs. What? They're always empty. Yeah, anytime I walk past one.
I always see them in there like basically having an orgasm and they're just like lying there. Just getting their like legs massaged with like the orgasm face going on. Absolutely not. I don't want to see it. And even those ones where they get their shoulders massaged and they've got like a towel over their head as like a privacy thing, like that, like a sheet over their whole head. But it's still like, it's a very intimate thing that I'm watching you get done in broad daylight in a shopping center.
So I think massage table is a no, but I think sitting down to get a massage is okay. I always get those massages sitting down. I love those. They're the best.
Do you pull the orgasm face though? Or are you sort of sitting there like off, lost in your...
No, I'm usually in pain because I ask them to do it so hard. So I'm usually like, maybe that's like an orgasm face.
Oh, God, this whole thing. Oh, this is really icking me out, this cringy. No one could possibly think this is fine. When someone scratches or picks at their hair, then smells it.
I've never seen that.
That's so specific.
And then the last one we have is pulls out a hair and drops it.
Oh,
never seen that either.
Well, no, because you know when we're talking about brushing your hair, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess it would be like if you brushed your hair and then at the end you like pulled at your hair and got all the dead bits that had come out as you were brushing.
Oh, like a split end, picking out split ends.
Yeah, or like just those like loose hairs that have come out as you're brushing your hair.
Yeah, I've probably done that.
Ugh, that person's definitely seen you do that.
Probably.
Well, today we have Joe back in your ears to answer your burning questions, pun intended, about sensitive skin. Joe, welcome back.
Hello. Hi, good to be back. Mel, I've heard so many good things about you hosting this podcast. I keep Stop. Running into people that are like, oh, Mel's really good. I'm like, I know, she is really good. So I feel like you've impressed a lot of people.
Aw, that's really sweet. No one says that to me, but then I live in Darwin at the moment.
So you don't bump into
like
it.
There's like two people that I pass every day.
Yeah. Well, it's good to be back.
Yes, good to have you back. And I'm so excited about this because like my skin is sensitive and I could listen to people talk about sensitive skin forever.
Mm-hmm. To kick us off, can you share what the difference is between sensitive skin and sensitized skin?
Yeah, I feel like we probably interviewed a dermatologist like years ago about this particular topic, but more than happy to touch on it again because I have mildly sensitive skin as well, Mel. So I feel you on wanting all the information. So sensitive skin is sometimes considered a skin type by some people. It sometimes fits into that normal oily combo, dry, and then some people add sensitive on the end there because it doesn't tend to come and go. This is something that doesn't come and go. We're often genetically predisposed to having sensitive skin. So if you've got truly sensitive skin, things like dehydration, redness, flushing, reactivity to various triggers that might sound really familiar to you, and stinging and burning sensations as well might sound pretty familiar, especially when applying different skincare products that might not be agreeing with you. Now, I have rosacea, so I'd consider myself to have mildly sensitive skin, as I said, and I tend to manage that with the right combo of ingredients, and I have professional treatments as well to keep my redness concerns at bay. Whereas sensitized skin is more of a transient concern. So this can come and go throughout your life. Most people, I would say, and this has no data behind it, but I'd say most people experience sensitized skin at one point in their life. Yeah. And this could be caused by, you know, products causing barrier impairment or a change in weather or environment, traveling, for example. So sensitized skin, if managed correctly, can be resolved and it can be managed out, whereas sensitive skin is generally something you're just going to have to live with, and you're going to have to make sure you're using the right combo of products and treating your skin how it likes to be treated for it not to be flaring up and causing issues.
So sensitized is sort of like temporary, sensitive is like usually a lifelong sort of issue. Yeah.
Think about sensitive as a skin type and sensitized as a skin concern.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
So we asked the Beauty IQ Uncensored Facebook group for their questions for you, and they asked, how can I exfoliate without causing redness and sensitivity?
Well, if your exfoliation method is causing redness and sensitivity, that's a red flag for me. Yeah. So we probably need to reassess what your exfoliation steps actually look like. Is it a chemical exfoliant? Is it a physical exfoliant, an enzymatic exfoliant? If it's a physical exfoliant, we probably just remove it and replace it with a chemical or enzyme exfoliant. If it's a chemical exfoliant like glycolic acid, we'd probably opt for a less irritating type of acid like lactic acid or even PHAs, which have a higher molecular weight, so they are less irritating on the skin, or an enzyme exfoliant, which really only eats away at the dead skin cells that need to be eaten away. It doesn't really take anything additional, so you reduce the likelihood of over-exfoliation. But if you are experiencing redness and sensitivity after exfoliation, it's possible that barrier function isn't optimal for that person. They might have a little bit of barrier impairment. So it may even be worth parking exfoliation for a few weeks, using some barrier supporting products to see whether this increases your skin's resilience again. If not, then go back to what I said earlier. And if it does tend to get better, then it may have just been a bit of barrier impairment that we've managed to recover from, and then you can go back to exfoliating.
Mm. Well, are there any actual exfoliants that you would recommend for sensitive skin? Like, are there any, I don't know, whether enzymes better or like a lactic? Yeah. any recommendations?
I would say for very sensitive skin, an enzyme exfoliant is probably best. Otherwise, PHAs are a really good option as well, which I can talk about further because I know we're going to get to that later. But there are products like the Jojoba Company have a PHA daily exfoliating tonic, and that's a really nice, gentle formula. It's a high molecular weight, so it's really not getting further than the surface of the skin. So it's really just taking off any dead skin cells that have to go from the surface. It's not really going to cause any irritation. Or a lactic acid, Alpha H, have that product Generation Glow.
I was going to say that one.
Getting re-released at some time. Yeah, that's a really good one. I've used that as well. There are a lot on the market. The Ordinary do a lactic acid 5%, I think, plus HA. That's in a serum form. So there's so many options for sensitive skins. Just because you are sensitive or sensitized doesn't mean that you can't exfoliate at all. Just means that you need to be a little bit more careful with it.
So are there any lifestyle factors like stress that could aggravate sensitive skin?
There are a lot of factors that could aggravate sensitive skin, but I think the triggers for everybody will be different. So things like diet, smoking, alcohol consumption, stress, air conditioning, they could all impact the skin barrier, which can then lead to things like irritation and redness and dryness and flaking. But that could affect anyone. That doesn't necessarily just mean sensitive skins, but they're probably a little bit more susceptible to having a negative reaction to those factors.
Mm-hmm. I also was going to ask you, I think barrier function is like one of the most confusing concepts for sensitive skin people. Could you like briefly kind of, I mean, it's obviously a massive topic, but like briefly explain what you mean by like, you know, an impaired barrier function?
Yeah. So our barrier keeps all of the good stuff in. So we want to keep hydration in. Having a strong barrier function means that we're less susceptible to transepidermal water loss.
Right.
But when our barrier is not in the right place, so when those bricks and mortar of our barrier are letting cracks through and things are slipping through, that means that things like bacteria and irritants, they can all get into the skin and water can get out of the skin.
Right.
So it really is there. If you think about barriers, it literally is a barrier. It's there to keep the bad stuff out and the good stuff in. And it supports healthy skin function. So without our barrier functioning the way that it's meant to, our skin generally will have, there'll be flow-on effects of more breakouts or slowed healing or dullness or dehydration from that transepidermal water loss. So I hope that's enough of an explanation.
Yeah, no, that's really, that's so helpful.
We could do an entire episode.
I know, I was going to say, I feel like this is a really big question to ask, but yes, I always just am like, what does that mean? But yes, no, that makes total sense. And I think when you have sensitive skin, you can sense when that's happened to your skin. Like I can tell because it's like 100%. Everything will irritate it. I'm like anything. It's like I step outside and my skin is like freaking out. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the air hits it and you're like, ow.
Right? You're like, ow, 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 everything. Look, another question from the Facebook group was, which I think is really interesting. Why is my neck so sensitive compared to my face? My face tolerates retinol, but my neck flares up.
Interesting one.
What do you think?
The skin on our neck tends to be much thinner and more sensitive. So it's less tolerant to the skincare products our faces can tolerate. So our faces have more sebaceous glands and hair follicles than our neck does, which I think kind of plays into that thinner skin and less tolerance. So I do recommend taking your products down your neck, but if you tend to be a little bit more sensitive and you're reacting on your neck to things like retinol, I would recommend mixing it with your moisturizer before you apply it. So buffer the product. If you're not doing that on your face, you can apply a little bit of retinol to the neck, but you could also just add it to your moisturizer, a little drop of it in your moisturizer, and apply that to your neck. And then you're buffering the product and making it less irritating, because most people will find that their neck skin is a bit more sensitized. Most people will find that their neck skin is a little bit more sensitive than their face.
I did not know that. I thought your neck was like, I guess it makes sense. I thought like your neck was like sturdier.
It does, right? I was the same. Yeah, but when I think about it, it is very fine skin.
Yeah, now that I'm feeling it, I'm like, look how thin it is. That's why it ages first, probably, because it's like feels so thin.
The neck and the eyes.
Under really, eyes, for sure.
Don't start me on the eyes.
Yeah. More delicate. Yeah.
So we know it's hard to give general advice when everyone's skin is so different, but would you be able to explain how sensitive skin relates to skin conditions like acne and eczema?
So these are both inflammatory skin conditions, but you don't have to have sensitive skin to experience either of these. But I will say, in both conditions, there's likely to be a bit of a breakdown in barofunction, as we talked about, to some degree, which is then going to impact the skin's ability to keep those pollutants and irritants and bacteria out and for it to retain moisture. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have that truly sensitive skin to have acne or eczema at any point in your life. That can flare up with any other kind of factor. So there's not necessarily this strong correlation between someone who has sensitive skin and someone who has acne or eczema. So I wouldn't say that, those two things go hand in hand, but there certainly probably is a skin barrier link at some point.
Look, I know this is obviously going to be a bit broad because everyone's skin is different, but in a general sense, are there any ingredients that most people with sensitive skin would want to avoid?
Look, there's things like fragrance that can be a little bit irritating on more sensitive skins, but everyone's going to be slightly different. Yeah. I tolerate alcohol in skincare. Okay. I tolerate fragrance in skincare. I really struggle with sunscreens. I often am very reactive to sunscreens, and there is no rhyme or reason. Some I'm totally fine with, and then others I just really have this, like, breakdown. So I don't know why that happens to me, but I'd say in a general sense, I am not the biggest fan of physical exfoliants, especially for sensitive skins and sensitized skins. The abrasiveness of them is just likely to stir up further issues. I'd be probably very careful introducing retinoids and chemical exfoliants if you've never used them before. Always with retinoids, starting low and slow. You can buffer it with your moisturizer. You can sandwich it. So there's ways to introduce these ingredients so you can still use them, but you just need to be careful with that introduction because we don't want to go in, you know, 0 to 100 and then cause barrier issues or cause a lot of sensitivity. And then we're recovering from that for 6 to 8 weeks. And then we're kind of repeating that process all over again. So I think the key is just to be very measured and careful with your approach to introducing ingredients. And most of the time, you'll know pretty quickly whether or not that product is going to be right for you. People that are listening with sensitive skin are like, I know within 2 days if that is not agreeing with me or not. Or immediately after application. As I mentioned, there are some chemical exfoliants around that are a little bit gentler, like PHAs. PHAs are polyhydroxy acids. So they belong to this group of acids that have a higher or a larger molecular weight than something like a glycolic acid. So they're going to be less irritating on the skin. I'd also say for retinoids, CeraVe have a really good beginner retinol with lots of ceramides in it. That may also help to support the skin because it's going to be helping with hydration levels at the same time. So not taking away too much from the skin, but equally treating the skin at the same time as it's being kind of moisturized.
Is there any like types of vitamin A that you could start with? Like, because I know vitamin A is so broad. Like, are there any things that you would avoid or things that you might start with?
Yeah, I wouldn't go straight in with like a prescription tretinoin.
Or like a 1% retinol? Mm.
Yeah, I'd probably start with like an ester form. There's lots of products on the market that will have like a retinol ester form within a wider variety of ingredients. So there might be like niacinamide, panthenol, ingredients like that. And then there's retinol in there as like a little additive. It's not like the key ingredient that's the hero of the product name. So that may be something that you could look at, but I definitely wouldn't be going in with like, if you've got sensitive skin, don't start at a tretinoin. Like start low down on the spectrum.
Yeah.
Even something like the Medicate Crystal Retinol 1 might be okay. And again, buffering it or sandwiching it to start with just to make sure that it's appropriate for you. But sensitive skin people listening will know it is trial and error with everything you use. What works for me is not necessarily going to work for you. What works for Mel is not necessarily going to work for you. So it really is that trial and error of just trying it and seeing whether or not it causes any issues.
To finish us off, it's been a hot minute. Do you have a PWDKWN?
Oh, thought you'd never ask. I'd probably say the last couple of weeks I've been trying a new product from Murad. It's the Cellular Repair Hydration Serum, I think it's called. A very good one for my sensitive skin friends because it's got essential fatty acids, got some peptides in there. It's got glycerin and vitamin E as well. Like just a really good barrier supporting hydrating serum. I am thrashing it. Like I'm using it morning and night and that's pretty rare for me to do that. But yeah, really into that product at the moment. So if you get a chance to try, I think there's a mask and a moisturizer in that range as well. So if you're having barrier issues and you're happy to splurge, that might be one to give a go.
How good. I'm going to have to give that a go.
Yeah, I think you might, Mel. Yeah, add that to cart.
Yeah. Add to cart.
So good to have you back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Always happy to be here. So you just call me anytime.
I'm sure Cass will.
So Hannah, what is your PWD KWN for today?
I have been waiting years for this range to come on Adore. The brand had sent me a couple. It's Cosmetics Elite. So they've got cosmetics, but they have this clinical grade skincare range called Cosmetics Elite. So it's kind of, I think, that step up in terms of, like, you know, concentration of ingredients. And it's now on Adore. And I've actually been using one of the products. It is the Cosmetics Elite Surface Revival. It is such an interesting product. It's kind of different to anything that I've used recently. So it's basically like you pump it out. So, you know, like you push down and the product comes out. So you basically use a cotton round and you pump it out and then you put it onto your skin. It's kind of the first step. It's got this like jelly texture. So it's not thin like a toner or like watery. It's kind of got a jelly texture. And you can feel that it's hydrating, but that it's also got like an exfoliating element to it. So it's kind of like a toner / hydrating jelly serum is the way that I can describe it.
Right.
So it's got red algae extract. This one is moisturizing and helps to minimize the appearance of fine lines. Got one of my favorite ingredients, niacinamide. It's got snow mushroom extract. Even though I hate mushrooms, it doesn't smell like mushrooms. Like, you know, I've got a real thing about mushrooms. Basically, it's a naturally derived extract and it helps mimic hyaluronic acid. So that'll just boost moisture levels in the skin. So you'll kind of get that plumper look. People that it's kind of suitable for, so dull, dehydrated, if you've got like a little bit of congestion, it's mildly exfoliating and it's hydrating. And then I just put a moisturizer over the top and I actually used it last night. I woke up this morning and I was like, oh, it's like does look like it's been exfoliated and it looked, I felt like it really made a difference this morning.
Yeah.
So if you go onto Cosmetics, you can have a look at the Elite range. It's in like a darker, it's like a very dark gray bottle as opposed to the lighter gray that the like regular Cosmetics range has. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some really great products in there that I've tried. So yeah, go check it out.
I do love Cosmetics. They have like a healing kind of balm.
Yes.
That you can use after getting laser facials or something. But I used to just use it whenever my skin was just having a moment. And oh, it's so nourishing and like soothing. And
is that the Rescue Intense Hydrating Balm and Mask?
That's the one. Oh, that is really, really good. Makes your face like a little, you know, like a little juicy seal.
Juicy seal. I love that.
That's what everyone wants to look like.
That's the new glazed donut, juicy seal.
So my product is actually makeup today. It is a product that I have always had issues with as a wider product, but this particular one, I finally found it. I've found the one that works for me. It's Amy Jean Brows Lamination Brow Gel. This is a pretty new product. So Amy Jean, for anyone who isn't across, she went really viral quite a few years back when brow tattooing came in. She was one of the first in Australia to really do it and do it well. Everyone went mad for her brows. They were really natural looking. And she's now got this whole, you know, makeup collection centered around brows. And all of the products are really well thought out. Like, she's really gone, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do it as best as I can, essentially. And so what I love about this lamination gel is I don't brush my brows up. And my sister gets up at me about this all the time. She's like, you need to brush your brows up. I don't know what you're doing. They look weird. Brush them up, because I'll fill them in, but I won't brush them up. And she's got the really big Greek brow. So she can do a really amazing, like, brushed, fluffy brow. Any product would really make
it
work for her.
I've never been able to do that.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I don't have those eyebrows, so I'm like, I can't do this. But she's like, you still need to do it because your front half.
I look like one of those evil characters from like James Bond or something when I do that. I got my brows laminated and my boyfriend was like scared of me. It's like, what have you done?
So yeah, I'm kind of like you, but I get what she means, because I think the front half of my brows could really do with a brush up to give it more shape. And because now I get it, because I use this product. So in the past, when I used these like lamination gels or like stronghold brow gels, they would either catch all my makeup in them and then dry like all crumbly and like really obviously. So then I would be like, well, this looks revolting. I'm better off not having it in my eyebrows in the first place. Or they wouldn't hold enough. It was one or the other. It was, this one is like, at first I thought it was going to be category A because it comes out on a spoolie and it's like white. And I was like, well, absolutely not, because this is definitely not going to work. Mm. But you put it in and it dries very quickly clear. But what is really great about it is it dries clear, but it doesn't dry with any crumbly effect. It's got collagen in it. The other part of it is that it's got like a dual brush on the end. So you use the spoolie, you put it through your brows the way you like it. But then you can use like one's like a bristle brush and one's like a comb to really get the look that you want with your brows. I use the brush because I want little brushed up brows. Like I want a real natural finish. But if you really want that laminated look and you want to hold every hair in place, you'd probably use the comb to really stick everything up. Lasted all day, looked amazing, etc. I mean, there's only 8 reviews so far, but it's got a 4.5 rating, which I think says a lot. So everyone's loving it. Someone said, definite repurchase. I have really thick brows and the gel is so strong hold that it keeps them in place all day without that crusty dry feeling, which I think is crusty. Exactly how I feel about it. So
you said crumbly and I couldn't quite, but crusty.
Crusty. Okay. I think crumbly because I look at it and I like see little pieces and
like little pieces
in my mind. It's like a
crumbs. Yep. That makes sense.
So I have a little self-care thing that I want to discuss that I'm not sure if you're going to, you're either going to be like the girls that get it, or you're going to be like, what is she talking about? So when it's like the end of summer or I've been on a big holiday or anything where like my feet are in sandals a lot and I'm wearing a lot of fake tan, etc. Like lots is going on and I'm not taking care of my feet at all. I get to this point where I'm like, all I want to do is buy one of those like 50 cent little exfoliating gloves, get in the shower and just scrub my feet, like scrub them so good. And I did it the other day and it is just heaven. It's honestly top tier self-care.
Do you use an exfoliator or you just use those like they're like the gloves, right?
Yes, they're the little gloves. They're like 50 cents or
in all different colors from like the supermarket. Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. You can find them anywhere. And they're really impractical, I find, for like body. Like they're great when they're on, but then if you're doing a body exfoliation, you sort of feel like a mime in the shower, like with these little gloves on, like massaging all your bits. But instead, I'll just put one on like Michael Jackson.
Yep.
Really get in on my feet. And there's this part of your foot. So there's your ankle. And then there's that little groove between your ankle bone and your heel bone. You know, that little groove in your foot?
Yep.
Mine gets so putrid. Like it will be a different color to the rest of my skin because you don't look at your feet this closely, right? Like you're not like, I'm not inspecting my feet all the time. They're down the end of my body. They just hang out there. When I get in the shower, I shower and my feet will just catch whatever water may come. Like I'm not washing my feet particularly intensely. I don't know if that makes me gross, but this is like a once every few month treat that I give my feet. I'm scrubbing off stuff from that little groove. I don't know what it is. I think there's partially it's a bit of fake tan, but little bits of brown are coming off from that part. So it's, yeah.
Interesting.
Don't know why I'm telling everyone this today, but here we are. I recommend it for anyone. Do you give your feet any attention, Hannah?
Like- I do have a foot exfoliating story. So it was about 18 months ago. I'd started a new job and we were going up to Noosa for work. So I was going, there was 3 of us going and I was the new girl. And I, for some reason, decided that just before going to Noosa, I would do one of those exfoliating foot masks, like, you know, like a Milky Foot.
Milky Foot.
Have you done one of those before?
No. I'm too scared.
Yes. Too scared. So I did that a couple of days before and like it'd be a different story if I knew these people well. We were sharing an apartment in Noosa and then I ended up like all of a sudden one night it all just like you think your feet are fine and then literally 10 minutes later, every piece of skin is coming off your feet. So I had to get like paper towel and put it all over the bathroom floor. And they must have been wondering what the hell was I doing in the bathroom for so long. And I had to like pick all the skin off my feet into this paper towel. Gosh. And then I didn't know what to do. There was so much skin. Like, what was I going to do? And then I had to wrap it all up. And I think I was wearing, I had to wear socks and runners, even though it was so hot. So that's something, I like doing those milky foot ones, or I think those like work so well. If I'm not getting pedicures, like that's something that I would do. But you have to kind of make sure, I think, that you're going to do it at home and that you're going to like go through the whole peeling process at home, because that was a big mistake. I don't know what I was really thinking. It was like the equivalent of getting like diarrhea, like with like away on the first work trip. That's what it felt like, because it was like my skin was just like coming off me. So I wouldn't recommend doing that if you're doing like a work trip. But otherwise, that's my like favorite foot exfoliation moment. Otherwise, I don't do it.
Yeah, I feel like if you're going to do milky foot, you have to adopt the mentality of like, you know, like werewolves in TV shows and movies where they have to go in hiding for a few days, like yeah. in Twilight and stuff. Like they go off into hiding when they become wolf form. It's like you, but you're just peeling your feet off.
That really, really works. I think you should give it a go.
Well, now you've told me that horror story, I don't think I want to, but
It wasn't a horror story at all. All the dead skin comes off. Mm. Everything comes off. And it's like all your new feet are underneath. Like, it's so good. All right, guys, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe and tell your friends. It helps other people to discover us. And we'd love to know what you thought about this podcast. So if you could leave us a review, that would be much appreciated.